Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It's not Steve. It's Becky Brown. And I'm so glad to be here with my Fabcos, otherwise known as fabulous co-workers, Chris Williams and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, you guys. How are you?
Hi, Becky.
I'm putting that on the moniker next to Fabco.
Chris. Fabco. Absolutely. That's what we call it. I do, too. And I love all my Fabcos. So, you know, this is the Friday before Thanksgiving. So you can start your fast now so that you can eat all day Thursday. I'm just giving you the heads up. You know, one of the things that we, Chris and I were just talking about how this year has been such a challenge for all of us. That's such a, of course it's been a challenge for all of us. But one of the things that I want you to talk about, Chris, is that whole thing about that internal locus of control. Like, what are we doing in the midst of all of this external loss of control?
Yeah, so, I mean, really, 2020, this is just my opinion. What it has not done, it has not made things, like, worse. What it has done is exposed what's already there. And that's what it does to us, is that when our world kind of falls apart, it really shows us that we are not in as much control as we think we are.
Yeah, surprise. Kind of like what we're made of, right?
Yes, exactly.
It does. It pulls the covers off.
Yes, and so exposes. Man. And that's not that is not to say that events in our life don't deeply impact us. I want to make sure that that's clear. However, what the opportunity is, and it's a hard opportunity, the opportunity is to go back and work on ourselves. Because we can get so outraged, or we can get so even impassioned, and maybe even in good ways, about the things out there in the world that actually we don't have much, if any, control over whatsoever. But if we stay there, what we neglect is the very thing that God has put us in charge of, and that's ourselves.
Right. So to look at what we do have control over.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And Becky, you were talking about the Serenity Prayer.
Yes.
That we talk about so much because of the wisdom in that.
Right. You know? One of my favorite lines in the Serenity Prayer is in the long version where it says, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace.
Yes.
And this year, as I have endured hardship, as all of you have as well, and it comes in many different forms, is that reminder, okay, Lord, you're going to provide peace in this.
Yes.
And I don't know what that's going to look like. It's not what I expected, but let me be open to that peace. I just think it's an opportunity. We all have the opportunity to be better, to be healthier, to be clearer, all of those things, closer to God. And we're kind of trapped in our houses in some places. And so, okay, what can we do with what we have? One of the great things that we've done this year is we've pivoted to our online workshops. And just to address all these things that you were just talking about, Chris, our Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible workshop that's coming up December 5th is going to be that kind of a day where you're going to have Dr. Daniel Amen, who is going to speak on the end of mental illness, and Dr. Henry Cloud's going to talk about growth has no boundaries, and Dr. John Townsend is going to talk about the problem with boundaries and boundaries in hard situations, and Steve is going to talk on the battle of a lifetime, the power of acceptance in the battle, which is what we were just talking about. And Sheila Walsh will bring in God Loves Broken People and Living Fearlessly. That sounds like an incredible day.
That's incredible.
You're going to have the breakout sessions with the counselors and then follow-up coaching sessions. And I have been saying this, that could be the very best thing that comes out of 2020 for you. So
listen, that is your ultimate Christmas gift to yourself.
Amen.
Give yourself that Christmas gift, and it may be the best gift you ever give.
Yeah, good
you ever
year
give.
Wrap-up.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's right. And we have scholarships available. Just call us or go to newlife.com and look at Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible. And it could be the best thing to come out of 2020. And Lord knows we need some good things to come out of 2020.
Yes, we do.
So call us for more information. We want you there. It will make a difference. And we'll be back taking all of your calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, and we are back. We are so glad you're here. We're taking calls, and we are going to, I just want to remind you too that, you know, we're streaming on YouTube. You can watch newlife.com there, and I would love, and not just me, not that I would just love it, but we want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It will give you the updates on new shows, and that's where we are. We want you to be there as well. We are going to talk to Jessie right now, who's calling us from Charlottesville. She listens on Sirius XM, and Jessie, how can we help you? We're so glad you called today.
Hi, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to say this in the most concise way. the last few years, I have struggled with some health issues that are chronic, and there's really, you know, not very good treatment methods for them. And then also some body image issues, and I've noticed, and it's kind of affected my marriage too, that I've just become, like, really negative. And I'm really hard on myself. So I guess I'm calling today to just figure out, like, what to do about having such a negative mindset and, like, how to be more content.
Good question. All right, Jill or Chris?
Well, Jessie, thank you for calling. We really feel for you because, you know, those are some things that while life might look okay on the outside, internally, a lot of people really, really suffer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and maybe on the outside are your health issues that are the more obvious thing. And certainly, you know, that's a lot to go to when you're trying to manage that. But internally, what you are telling yourself about yourself is affecting the relationships around you. And sometimes, you know, people can get downright so upset at their own imperfection and this kind of myth that somehow if we line up everything just right, you know, like if you had the perfect body image, then things would go well in life. You know, then you would feel good about yourself. Then you wouldn't be so negative. And so you're taking something that, you know, really isn't the whole picture and trying to focus on that, you know, with body image issues. It's like, again, if I could just get my body right, then the rest of my life would fall into control, mm-hmm. you know. Sometimes people, you know, there's people also that have, if I just got my house right, something I could just get right, then that picture that I have in my head of how life is supposed to be, then I would be happy. But that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's a never-ending path. And part of the healing is accepting our limitations and our imperfections and realizing that life will never be as perfect or ideal as we think it ought to be. The people around us, relationally, will never be as good or as attuned to us as we think we need them to be. And that actually some of the disappointments in life are part of God's plan at building strength in us. When we are frustrated, you know, we have to learn to cope and we have to push ourselves to have some healthier coping.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it reminds me that, you know, I think in all of us, we have this idea of our ideal self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we use that as sort of a baseline standard, that we're supposed to meet all of these high standards.
Like, that's the minimum,
yes,
almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the minimum requirements. But I have this vision of my ideal self way up high, but then there is the real self way down low,
yes,
that gets out of bed in the morning. And there's a gap in between there, and so we often weaponize our ideal self against our real self, mm-hmm. and what we have is the not good enough shame in between that gap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it fills that gap. So then we think, if I have this, if I get this, if I am this, then...
Right.
And so when we have the when then, we can never live in the now.
Right.
And it just creates a lot of frustration. And you know, Jesse, you were talking about your pain, and I don't want to this to sound like I'm equating my pain to yours, but, you know, I have some chronic lower back pain, and I also tore my meniscus in my knee. And that has created pain, and that pain has been frustrated. It's been very limiting, and I eat more and exercise less. I've gained weight, and I've developed subtly a much more negative relationship with my own body. Mm-hmm. And so I'm much more easily frustrated with other people.
Well, and it feels like our bodies fail us.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So, Jesse, how does that sound? Does that sound like it's helpful? Do you relate to that?
Yeah, are we on the right track with you? Sorry, we're just gone off.
Jesse, I'm talking about me right
now.
Yeah,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I completely agree with everything. My husband always tells me that I have really high expectations, and nobody, and even myself, can ever live up to them. So then I'm, like, always not happy.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously, the result isn't what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Of course, my question would be, whose voice is that in your head? You know, where do the expectations come? The other thing I want to mention, too, and Chris, you touched on this a little bit. You know, whenever we have pain, physical pain, it does impact our thinking process.
Oh, yeah.
Because pain indicators in the brain they can actually cause depression, you know, over time because it's very hard to endure.
And negativity, when you don't feel good. You feel more negative.
Right. And it's hard to do this by yourself. So, you know, I would encourage you to have some support. And I don't know, I mean, it sounds like your husband's supportive. Are you seeing a counselor? Or are you working with anybody on these issues?
I had seen somebody, but we just didn't click right. And then I just had a baby. So
Jesse, I would also recommend that you find a nutritionist, dietitian that specializes in body image issues.
Yeah.
That might be a good adjunct, too.
When was your baby born, Jesse?
August 1st.
Okay. So,
oh, my gosh. Right. Brand new.
So you're dealing with that whole postpartum, hormones.
Oh, yeah. My body is not my own. Oh, my gosh. It took me 2 years to feel like a normal person after I had my first kid.
Right. And so I just want to encourage you. I would look for mom support groups.
Yes.
Yes.
And for, you know, just ways where you are kind to yourself during this time. You have done an amazing thing by giving birth to a child. Mm-hmm. There is nothing like it. But it's just, it's really hard when we have those things. But also, just pay attention to your down moments, because postpartum is a serious issue. And so if you have more down days than up, please talk to your OBGYN or talk to a counselor, because we don't want you to suffer in silence. That is a real thing. And there is help for that. And I'm not even going to send her a book, because she doesn't need a book at this point.
Actually, can we send, because you mentioned expectations, can we send How We Love?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe her husband could read it to her.
Give it to her husband so he can.
Exactly.
But I just want to say some spiritual work here that I just want to encourage you. Is Jesse, you and I need to work on something, and that is know first and foremost that the ideal self is a unicorn. It actually doesn't exist.
True.
But what we really need for the real self is more grace. And the first act of grace starts with acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I may not like what my body is doing right now, but I'm going to accept it as a form of grace today. Mm-hmm. And so our work, again, is to replace the shame of not good enough with the grace of acceptance and ultimately love.
Right. And I think especially in times of a new mom, there are so many experiences that you're having at that moment that just everything is upside down, and you're so tired. You're so tired. Mm. So we're going to be praying for you, Jesse, and we're going to send you the How We Love and take care of you. Right now we're going to talk to Sherry, who's calling us from Orange County, listens on KKLA. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. How can we help you?
Well, I have a 22-year-old gay son who recently moved out for the first time to Los Angeles and is in our current environment very influenced by a pretty aggressive liberal group, and we're having new conversations. Recently, we've always been very close, and we have been very open about his gayness, and really just, I mean, he just turned 22. He's just now beginning to start the lifestyle, and where before he never, I mean, really in the last 6 months. And so my question is, I have conversations that sometimes I hold back. He knows my strong Christian views. He was raised in a very strong Christian home, went to church all the way through high school, whatnot, has had different kinds of influences, though. My question is how to have the conversation as he grows into this, we both grow into it, of the difference of acceptance and approval, and that I feel like sometimes I hold back because I don't want to have to bite my tongue and give him the impression of disapproval, or that he throws that back on me, that you're disapproving of me, you know, and so there's this fine thing, and like we just recently had this conversation because of the what's happening now, and about how he was going to vote, basically. And he said, "You mean you don't? You believe a marriage is between a man and a woman?" And I said, "Well, we're not talking about what I believe right now. We're talking about where you want your stance to be. That's what we're discussing." And I tried to get out of it very quickly, and he said, "Oh, Mom." You know, and I'm just like, oh, you know, we've been there, done that. But I feel like as he's growing older, those conversations kind of maybe he wasn't really grasping what was being said. He knows very strongly where I am.
Okay. So, Sherry, I think we get a good picture of that. You're wondering about how to have a healthy relationship with him as he continues. And it's really a challenge to navigate adulthood and parenthood. And it sounds like you're very supportive. Jill or Chris, what would you begin with?
Well, it sounds like you're already having really good conversations with him, Sherry, and I commend you for that. I think, you know, I wonder, I don't know that I would think about it as approval or disapproval, but that you just don't agree with him. You have a different viewpoint.
Right, well, see, and that's, yeah.
Right?
And I think that's what he imposed, yes.
Right, and so me agree.
He imposes and takes on the disapproval.
Right.
Yes.
Well, right, because you're his parents, and of course, he wants you to approve of him. But the thing is, you are for him, and I think you just have to keep making these distinctions. You are for him, right? You love him. He will always be your son. There are points that you disagree with him on. But as an adult, you know, we can live in relationship with people we disagree with.
Yeah.
Right?
We do it every day.
Yeah, we do it all the time. And it a lot of people get that confused, thinking, well, you don't approve of me unless you agree with me. And that is not the case at all. That is not the same thing. In fact, if I were just to agree with you all the time, I remember my daughter used to say that, "Mom, I just want you to agree with me." It's like, well, that wouldn't truly be loving you to just agree with you every time. And I really want to love you.
Well, and then you're not showing up. If you just go along with everything, then you don't show up. But,
wait, one more thing I want to say. Okay. You know, you are the parents. You are the mom that God meant for your son to have, right? And so, and maybe your relationship is going to be filled with some healthy debate. Okay. And then there's times to say, you know, we're just not going to go there today. We're just going to enjoy each other.
I love that.
Well, Jill, and I think that that's really important. And I just want to highlight two things. And that's to reiterate, because I think we really need it in our culture and society today to move towards health. And that is, we need empathy, but empathy does not equal agreement.
Right.
I can understand you. I can see you and hear you and love you and not agree with you. And all of that can be true all at the same time. Right. And then secondly, we may find things in our adult relationships including family, that has boundaries. We just can't go there right. because it never goes well. And mm-hmm. that's, though there may be a loss of intimacy in that conversation, we're protecting something yes. better, like respect and connection. So politics may be off the table, and that's right. okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are so many things, but I think you're on the right track, Sherry. And I think as you navigate this, you're going to find some good places to land with each other. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're here, and we are taking calls, and we are just finishing up with Sherry, and Jill had one more comment we wanted to
offer. I just wanted to add in that, you know, being a mature adult or parent means that we don't need our kids to be our twins. And that's a hard thing to get to. It, you know, it hurts when they don't reflect our beliefs, what we've taught them, when they individuate, and it's not what we had envisioned for them. And so that's, I think, a hard transition mm-hmm. for most good parents to go through, and especially Christian parents. It's a hard thing. So I think we should give Sherry a book and How We Love Our Kids.
I think that's a great book, and just wish you the best, Sherry. It is a fight worth fighting for to stay in relationship with your kids, even if you don't agree with them 100%. And if you do agree with them 100%, someone needs to call and say, wait, you got to change that.
Just this.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Someone that I agree with 100%, maybe not.
I know better than that.
It's Larry Sonnenberg. Hi, Larry. How are you today?
Doing good, Becky. Thank you so much. I want to read you an email that we got a while back.
Okay.
We gave to New Life because of something Steve said on radio. He said, our support might be part of saving someone's life, mm-hmm. might help someone in a dire place, save a marriage, etc. This is a way for us to share how we try to serve the Lord in our local world. We mm-hmm. serve in a marriage mentoring ministry. But how many will we reach? On the other hand, all of us who support like this, how many will you reach through your extensive audience and platform? Hmm. Well, we believe here at New Life that when we intersect with someone with the resources and the desire to give, it's like a spark lighting a fire. Hmm. Things happen. Lives are changed. God is honored. Mm-hmm. People really do tell us that we saved their lives. Had their lives continued on the paths they were on, they literally saw death on their doorstep. Hmm. You saved my life is an amazing statement, and it both makes us feel good that God affirms us by hearing directly from those whose lives were saved, but it makes us sad at the same time that people's lives really do get to that point. Mm-hmm. So the other thing we hear is our marriage was headed for divorce. Mm-hmm. You saved our marriage, and that's special to us because marriage is sacred, mm-hmm. and for God to be honored by a saved marriage is really gratifying. As a ministry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other thing it does is it just motivates us to keep doing the work.
Amen. Yes.
It really lights a spark under us to say what we do matters in partnering with God in His kingdom, in His desire for healing and growth and transformation.
And it shows me that God's hand is still in this ministry.
Absolutely.
That's what keeps me coming back each day. Mm. And so if you can make a gift of any size, we've had a little bit of a tough year with COVID with our mm-hmm. our giving has just been below the line, and fortunately some expenses have been a little below the line because we're not doing live workshops, but it's a little concerning not knowing what 2021 is going to bring. Mm-hmm. We just had a board meeting recently, and we're talking about how long we will keep things online. It could be 3 months, 6 months, or all year next year. We're still mm-hmm. evaluating. So we need your help. If you could join Club New Life, that'd be great. If you could make an individual gift, wonderful. But please help us in New Life and help these folks whose lives are different forever.
Mm. Yes, thank you so much, Larry. You can go to newlife.com and click the donate button. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you could also download our free app, which also has a place for you to donate. But any way that you can to help us continue the ministry, that's a wonderful thing. Thanks, Larry. I do agree with you 100% on that.
On that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to go to calls, and we are talking to Marie, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. Hi, Marie. Thanks for waiting, and how can we help you?
Hello. Thank you so very much for accepting my call.
We are glad to do it.
Yes. I guess to try to just narrow down my question or concern, I think I need to know how to set clear, healthy boundaries. With showing love at the same time.
Okay. With who? Or whom?
With my husband. We've been married over 30 years. First 5 years were terrific. But he became addicted to drugs, and everything went downhill from that point. So I just recently moved out this January, and but I still hadn't really set clear boundaries. I'm still preparing meals for him. I'll cook, you know, and invite him over, and still wash clothes and the things that I normally would do if I was there with him. But I don't know if that's the best message. I'm still trying to be kind and loving, but I don't know if that's, I still don't know if he's getting it.
Did you tell him when you moved out? Like, why were you moving out?
Well, I moved out because of the verbal aggression and the aggression period. He was verbally disrespectful. And the aggression where he would just grab me and hold me and push me, and that would result in bruising. Yes, and I just felt like more a mother to him than a wife at this point. You know, it got to the point where I'm like, am I your mother or am I your wife? Because I was doing everything. Money,
well,
being
or the hired
home,
help.
Right. Marie, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back after the break and answer your question. But I think you made a really good move in moving out. We want everyone to be safe. And if anyone is ever pushing you or grabbing you to the point where there's bruising, you got to get to a place of safety. And so you made the first step in the right direction. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Chris Williams and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we are talking to Marie. And Marie, I wanted to ask you a question. Since you have moved out and he comes for dinner and whatnot, have you had any more instances where he has been aggressive towards you?
Verbally aggressive, not physically, but verbally disrespectful. And let me just add this to the conversation. I did not give him my address because the intent was for me to move out with setting boundaries and expectations, but he got my address accidentally. We had gone to the cemetery to take care of some business pertaining to our deceased daughter. And I ended up leaving the contract pertaining to my daughter's information from the funeral home in his vehicle. So it had all my information on there, where I lived and everything. So I forgot the paperwork in there. That's how he obtained my address.
Wow.
I didn't give it to him. because I was getting ready to just set the distance between us mm-hmm. and try to work from there. But mm-hmm. so he got my address accidentally. Mm-hmm. You know, so then I'm like, wow. Well, I was careless in that area.
Well, but Marie, you did a really strong first move, and you know, I'm sorry that he got your address. But Chris or Jill, where would you like to go with this?
Well, Marie, to reiterate what Becky was saying, you've done a great move, and you're asking the absolute right question. I can't tell you how many times where people are asking a question. I'm like, it's actually not the right one, but you are. And that is, how do I set clear, healthy boundaries, but also being able to do it from a place of love. And you also are recognizing that I can't mother him or nurture him out of his addiction. Because what happens there is you play a rescuer role. Now, let me tell you how he hooks himself in to that position. Is he will lay down his victim card every time. He'll do the woe is me, woe is my life, and how he's in this helpless, hopeless situation. And you, Marie, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, are his only hope. And so then it's sort of like, oh, now I have to, because if I don't, I'm a bad person. And that's how the addict kind of gets their hooks into other people caretaking for them what they need mm-hmm. to take care of on their own. Mm-hmm. And so the message to him is a verbal message, but it's also communicated through action, not just words. But it is, husband, I love you. I want what's best for you, but your addiction doesn't work for me or my home at all. Mm-hmm. So, we can maybe have conversations moving forward only if you can prove that you are in recovery, doing recovery work, getting into counseling, and taking the right action steps to put this addiction and the very damaging behavior in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know, one thing I need to add too, Well, you know, the trust factor is broken in the relationship. But he said he doesn't trust me either, because I've been having communication with an ex-boyfriend and his sister. So he's saying that I'm committing adultery because I reunited with an ex-boyfriend's sister. So I did have conversation with him as well. So he's calling me an adulterer because of the fact that I accidentally came in contact with them.
Is part of it. So Marie, you do have to, you know, take care of your own integrity and make sure you're doing things that align with your value mm-hmm. system. But it is a very, very common move of what we call blame shifting. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to point out all of your wrongs so I never have to look at my own.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I'll keep you distracted wanting to fix yourself, because that's what you do. Right? Mm. Wanting to be the good person, and then you won't bother me about my stuff, and I can continue.
Marie, are you doing any recovery work as far as Al-Anon? You guys have been dealing with addiction for 25 years, so are you doing any kind of work for your own recovery?
Well, you know, I attempted once before, but I couldn't continue because at that time our children were really small. And trying to work and to take care of my children, mm-hmm. trying to mother him, mm-hmm. it just got to be too much and overwhelming for me to do anything extra. Because taking children to after school practices,
But what about now, Marie? Because it's been 25 years.
Right now, I just moved out this year. So now I'm trying to get myself together to return to college. And there's just some other things I've been wanting to do for myself that I have not been able to because I've been so distracted.
Okay, so those things are... Yeah, Marie, those things are all good. You know, you're focusing on your life. But, you know, right now with COVID, there's a lot of meetings online. And I think, you know... I'm sensing some resistance to maybe, you know, subjecting yourself to a group like that. And so, I think that's really paramount in your healing.
Right, I'm not resistant to any knowledge or anything that can help me. I'm all for that.
So then the first step for you would to be to find a meeting and then just know that you need to go to an Al-Anon meeting. That's just
right.
Or a life recovery meeting. You just have to have recovery in your
right.
Your
and when you first go, you're going to say, I don't know that I belong here.
Right.
That's
right.
A common thing. And so you have to go, you have to attend, participate, or just, observe at least six times before you reject it.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And the other big bold move is you're going to have to stop fixing dinner for him.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm wondering how that's really working
for you. No more dinners. No more.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want to be his mom, but you continue the mothering.
You set a huge boundary, Marie, in moving out. Use that boundary to your healing advantage. That is what that is about. If he is in another place, he's got to do his own food and his own laundry and move on.
So part of the boundary of moving out is that he feels your absence.
Exactly.
Right? This doesn't work for me. So you want him to feel your absence.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's going to take
that's a motivator for change.
And I would not, I don't think you said that you're getting involved with the old boyfriend, but I would just put a big boundary there too.
Yeah.
Can be friends with the girl, with the sister, but just, and don't worry about the blame, shame and blame shifting that that he's talking about. But, isn't it just like an addictive relationship to get all messy and confusing, even when you try to make a big boundary. And so Marie did a great job. We're going to send you a Life Recovery Bible that's got some great devotionals in it. It's got the 12 steps. It's got that process. And I want to encourage you to continue to go to Al-Anon. And we're going to go right to the next call, which is Ellen, who's calling us from Mechanicsville, listens on WAVA. And Ellen, thanks for waiting, and how can we help you today?
Hi. My question is, if you've tried, this is like the third church I've been a member of in my lifetime. I was raised in a very traditional church, and as a Catholic, then I was Baptist, and I have this religion I've been in for almost 15 years now. But they seem, and I don't know how to say this respectfully, I try to be a good Christian. I think I am, and they have, like, this thing, like, almost like if you leave the church, like, you're a heretic, and I want to say this. I need more community. I feel like because everybody's coupling up, I went to a dear friend's husband's funeral, and then one of my friend's husbands, like, got me before I went in the door, and he's like, oh, you're coming up on, what, 3 years now? Of being divorced, so when are you going to get married again? There's a lot of pushiness, and like you've been talking a lot about boundaries, where they want to get in your business, and go online for the church's singles, and I'm actually thinking of leaving my church, and I don't think that I'm unchristian. I want to leave for another Christian church, but there's an intense amount of pressure.
Okay,
and as the lady I spoke with on the phone before I came on the program, I think they're, like, all afraid I'm going to take their husband. So they would feel more comfortable if I had a spouse of my own. And that's totally not what I'm about, but I believe it's one of the most important decisions you make. And we lived in the same house for 11 and a half years. And 13 and a half years on paper, I had to find them. So
Ellen?
To divorce them.
Ellen,
yes.
On the back side of fear is always control.
And then
what we do there is then we do behavior modification. So if I am afraid and running in fear and I'm trying to control everyone, I'll try to control their behavior, but what I won't be able to do is connect with their heart. And so it sounds like you're just in an unhealthy community driven by fear and control. And what you're asking us is, can I leave to get to a place where there is authentic connection, love, and growth?
And the short answer is
yes. there is a chorus of yes.
Yes, yes. You're asking good questions, Ellen. We're going to come back after the break and follow up with you. But I just think you're asking really good questions. And unfortunately, church is a great place, but also can be a really tricky place to deal with people.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, welcome back. We are talking to Ellen. And Jill, what would you like to offer
Ellen?
Well,
I just wanted to say, Ellen, that I get it, that married people are often uncomfortable with people who aren't married. And, you know, there's this push, and especially amongst Christians, it's like they see you as incomplete, and they know that you're, like, for in your situation, you're divorced, and so, oh, ouch, that's a big heartache, right? So they have empathy and compassion, but there's kind of this, oh, we've, you know, something incomplete, so we need you to move along, get remarried, so that, oh, we can breathe a sigh of relief. So they're... It's like they're not okay with you not being fully okay in their eyes. And so, you know, that's something that you have to reckon within yourself. And you can help and let them know that, you know, if that's in God's will for me, great. But if it's not, I'm okay too. Right.
It also sounds like the church needs a stronger marriage ministry if all of the wives are scared that she's going to steal her husband.
I know.
I'm like,
exactly.
Wow.
Ellen, so one of the questions I have for you is, I think you've changed churches before, so you're getting a little bit gun shy of what the next church would be like, right? Isn't that where the question is kind of coming from?
Right, because I'm older. I'm not as established because, you know, I don't have the house anymore, and I don't have my place in the community. So yeah, that's a good word for it. But sometimes, not always, but with age comes wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to, you know, be recognized. I don't really look my age. Not that I don't act it or dress it, but I don't look it. And so that's maybe a little off-putting. I got some jeans from my dad, and so he never looked his age, so I kind of inherited that. So what I'm saying is, I have life experiences, and what they were talking about, you know, the violence and addiction and shelter, those things all played out in my marriage, and it's like I've come onto my own. I mean, I was single between my first marriage and second for 10 years, mm-hmm. so I didn't go automatically into a marriage, so mm-hmm. the support was there with moving, and I did go to a Christian but non-church therapist who wasn't of my church. And she was great in supporting and encouraged me to find my own and make my own decisions. But it is hard. It's like, you know, leaving home for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's hard to make decisions and leave those people behind. They're nice,
yes.
But
right.
At the same time, you got to spread your wings and you got to find out what's out there. And
right.
They all only encourage dating within our church, like meaning
right.
our faith.
That's like a big red flag, though.
Right, that is.
That's a big red flag. Ellen, you've got you've got wisdom. You do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if anything, we would encourage you, I don't know if you're still in touch with that counselor, maybe revisit mm-hmm. and just say, hey, here I am again. And this is, you know, I just need to have the confidence to move forward. I actually hear the confidence in your voice mm-hmm. as you're mm-hmm. talking about this. And I want to tell you, not that I'm, you know, whatever, you do need to move on. It's not a healthy church. And in your area,
maybe
there's...
Maybe you even start by going to a Bible study at another church.
Well,
you know?
That's right.
And I'm just thinking of the book. I don't know if we have it in resource, but Necessary Endings.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I bet
yeah.
we do.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll send that to you. Thanks so much, Ellen. It's hard to make those changes, but mm-hmm. boy, when you know you need to, you do.
There are different seasons of life and different people called to walk with us.
Well,
absolutely.
And I think there's a lot of people out there, especially the theme of 2020, that just need to hear it's okay if something no longer works for you.
Exactly.
It's just
okay.
It's all right.
It is okay.
Exactly. There's no bad or good. It just doesn't work anymore.
The interesting thing about that statement is that God always works for us. He is always for us. And so we can lean into him as we are making those changes. We are going to take our last caller. We're so glad you held on, Regina. You're calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. And what's your question for us, Regina?
Yes, my question is, Marie summed it up. She basically, everything she's going through has gone through that I'm going through now.
Mm-hmm.
And, however, I did not leave. I did not leave. My husband mm-hmm. and I have been going through a lot of drama and stress for the last 2 years. Last year was really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to out of the house and for no reason at all. Mm. And he even took me to court to try to put me out of the house, mm. and the judge would not allow him to do that. Mm. So this year, he decided, just out of the blue, because we were working on our marriage, and 2 months ago, he just up and left, just packed mm. and left. And I got these papers for equal distribution, so he's trying to do an interim in order for the judge to allow him to come back into the house. Hmm. And he also, you know, has addiction problems with sexual addictions, and I found magazines hmm. and with abuse, substance abuse,
well,
and alcohol.
It's difficult, Regina. We only have a couple minutes, and do you have any specific question that you want us to address in the few minutes that we have left?
Yes. Well, I'm trying to, you know, I didn't leave. He left, and I'm not sure why he left, because we were working on our marriage. And the question is, you know, how do I move forward to try and, you know, grow closer to the Lord? Because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to work on myself, because
okay.
I see he, you know.
So, yeah. Regina, I think uh-huh. you have to look at, you know, do a good assessment and maybe get some, you know, wise people around you, help you assess your right. situation. What are the steps you need to take to protect yourself? And look at it, the yes. reality of now. You're telling me he's an addict and a sex addict and he's disappeared. I'm thinking he's maybe run off with someone. That may be a hard reality to hear, but something has gone awry with him. And so you need to act accordingly, right? To not have necessarily yeah. false hope, to look at his actions. What are his actions saying about his willingness to work on the marriage? And then, yeah, and also get some good legal advice.
Yeah, you have a lot of legal parts moving yeah. here that definitely need legal support, but you also need recovery support. So you heard us talk to Marie about getting an Al-Anon. Mm-hmm. And so you need a recovery support group and other women to help guide you through the day-by-day details of in all of the emotional roller coasters that you're going to go through here. I just want you to know today that, Regina, you matter, and mm-hmm. you matter tremendously, and God made you worthy of trust, of love, of good things, and what is happening to you is devaluing you. Mm-hmm. And I mention that because a lot of times we struggle with boundaries because we don't know the purpose of boundaries. Boundaries exist to protect that which is valuable. Mm-hmm. If we don't find ourselves valuable, we're going to have a hard time with our boundaries. Mm-hmm. But when we recover our value, we can say, nope, that doesn't work for me. You can't do that here. And you certainly can't just leave and pick up and go. And so if you want to be with me, you have to respect my value. And here's exactly what it's going to look like. And if you mm-hmm. can't, no problem. This is... Well, as we said, this no longer works.
Right. You know, I think you made the right move, Regina, in calling today. There's a lot of confusion, but clarity is what you're seeking. So we're going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, mm-hmm. which will help you in that process. I agree with Chris in getting into Al-Anon, getting into Life Recovery. You know, all of us need help every now and again, and that's why New Life is here. And we're so grateful for all of your calls today. If you need some help, get in touch with us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jill, for all your wisdom today. And thank you, listeners, for being there. We couldn't do it without you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.